Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Quiet.
It said we won.
Who said that we won?
The Bible says
Jesus won. Because he won, I won. Okay. Verse number 12. 1:12, Revelation. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, and girded about his chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars out of his mouth, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death." John G. Lake was a evangelist, man of God, that lived in the 20s and 30s of the 1900s, died in the 40s. He was a man who would take germs, put them on his hand, and have them look at him through a telescope, and he'd curse them in the name of Jesus, and they'd be dried up. He was a man that went to Africa and helped stop the bubonic plague by joining with people in prayer, and the plague left the areas. And he writes this, talking about Jesus. His dying on the cross was the first incident in the connection, in our connection with redemption. It was a battle of two kingdoms. It was not an earthly battle of religions. It was a battle of all the powers of light and darkness in heaven and on the earth. Jesus Christ, the champion of righteousness and salvation, had to make good on the fact that he would arise, or like the philosophers, pass into oblivion. Instead of being the life giver, he would have been just one of the propounders of another philosophy. The resurrection morning came, Jesus, discussing his life, had said, "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to raise it up." He commanded life, he lived, and death became his captive. Jesus Christ was the victor. There is no one like him in all the universe. He came out of the battle with the keys of death and hell. No one else in heaven or on earth had ever such an experience. None other laid challenge to death. No other have ever taken death captive. Jesus Christ stands unique in earth, in heaven, and in hell. I understand that when Easter comes, there's always a message. I understand that we can sit here and we can make assent to a resurrection. That we can just come to a place of mentally saying, "Yeah, I believe that because it's a historical fact," or this or that or something else. But it's deeper than that. As Jesus appeared to John, he said, "I am he who lives and was dead and am alive forevermore." A bumper sticker showed up years ago, and it said, "Nietzsche is dead, sign God." If you don't remember the philosophers, it was a great proponent of the God is dead theory. The one thing that separates Christianity from every other religion or every other dogma is the fact that Christianity is all supernatural. And our leader conquered death, didn't succumb to it, and he's alive today. I want to tell you something. No one living in a dead religion, their God is doing anything for them. Muhammad isn't, Buddha isn't, Black Elk isn't, no one else is. They're dead. They're dust, they're ashes. And we can stand today and say that we are and we have the only God who lives and is alive and didn't allow death to take him captive. He took death captive. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. It's true. And we need to understand that. You know, there's nothing wrong with giving Easter eggs or doing things like this. But what's wrong is when the church forgets the purpose of why we have Easter. What's wrong is when we're not bold enough and confident enough to stand up and saying, yes, he is alive, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And because he lives, as he said in John 14, I live also. Amen. There are people that spend more time with Good Friday than Easter Sunday. There are people who take 6 days to mourn his death and one day to rejoice in the resurrection. We need to understand something. We need to live on the right side of the cross. We need to come to a place of walking this out in the resurrection life. I remember one morning I got up, it was probably during Holy Week. And the Holy Spirit just said, are you happy he died for you? Can I tell you something? I'm not sad Jesus died. I hate to see the passion of the Christ and see what they did to him. But I'm thankful he went through it. I rejoice that he went through it. I come to a place where it's exciting, and I went back and read this morning earlier the four accounts of the resurrection. It's amazing of what he went through, and that now he's alive. But I was thinking, I want you to think of something. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies. I was just thinking yesterday morning as I came early. Do we understand that the Holy Spirit was in the tomb with Jesus? Do you ever think about it? Do we understand that they had the guards on the outside, but they had the Holy Spirit on the inside? Come on. Do we understand that that Spirit came in there and raised Jesus from the dead and took him up through the ceiling? He didn't walk out the door. The door wasn't rolled. The stone wasn't rolled away so that he could get out. The stone was rolled away so we could look in. And this Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, turned darkness to light, walked in that light for 50 days, and then ascended to heaven. And as he ascended to heaven, he says, it's all yours now. It's all yours. What are you going to do with it? And he said, oh, by the way, he tells John, or FYI, for your information, I have the keys of death and hell. Just so that you know, I have the keys of death and hell. I want you to look at something. And we were talking about fear this morning. There is nothing that Satan can do or bring or torment you with or accuse you of, or all that stuff that has not been conquered by Jesus Christ. We need to understand there's nothing new that Satan can do to you. There is absolutely no fear that verse in 2 Timothy 1:7, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. I was working on that sound mind aspect. Because how many realize that the disciples after the crucifixion were afraid? You know, I want to talk to you about your thinking. How many's ever had something good happen to you and then your mind just talked you out of it? How many have ever asked God for something and you felt really good in praying and you walked away and all of a sudden all the doubts and all the fears and all the thing, well, God doesn't want to do that for me. I want you to think about something. He gave you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How many of you ever thought that Jesus just got up one morning and said, I wonder who I really am? How many of you ever thought that as Jesus was heading for the cross, he said, boy, I sure hope my Father's right, and I kind of go through this thing and I arise again. We don't do that. Jesus didn't do it. But we do. The word sound mind means a mind that's been delivered, a mind that's been rescued, a mind that's been revived, and a mind that's been directed. We do not live by our thoughts. We live by what the Holy Spirit has spoken to us, and we come to a place where this mind is being renewed by the Spirit of God. You know, the disciples had to forget everything Jesus told them. Matthew 16, Jesus is saying, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die, and on the third day I'm going to rise. And Peter said, no, Lord, you can't do that. But how many disciples went to the grave the second day and just sat there for resurrection morning? Zero. How many of the women, they went to do what? They went to gloriously praise him at his resurrection? I don't think so. What'd they go to do? What were they going to do with his body? They were going to anoint it. What happened? What happened to the memory? Are we casually acknowledging the resurrection? Or are we living like we know it happened? There's a difference. You know something? There's no doubt in hell that Jesus rose from the dead. I want you to understand that. There's not a single doubt. Well, Satan said, oh, he didn't do that. It's just a myth. There's no doubt there. You know where the doubts is? It's in the churches of America. You know, it's true. There's no doubt in heaven that Jesus rose from the dead. That's why we need to bring heaven to earth so we get the philosophy of the Father. We need to come to a place where we understand that this is real. It happened for eternity, and without it, we're going to hell. He's alive. Say it. Say it. Say it. Say it. Now say one more thing. Say, he's alive in me. Say it. Can't hear you. Say it. Forevermore. You see, you say, well, Pastor, there are all kinds of attacks on the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, there's nobody out there disclaiming the fact that Muhammad's dead. There's nobody out there disclaiming the fact that Buddha's dead. And there's nobody out there declaring the fact or arguing the fact that Brigham Young or Joseph Smith, they're dead. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, who's the only one who said, you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up, there's people all over saying, forget it. You know, it would have been easy for the disciples just to say, you know, he was talking about a spiritual resurrection. He wasn't really talking about a physical resurrection. But that's not what he's talking about. They could have easily come to a place where they said, you know, he did what he said he did. He's not there spiritually. He's in heaven. And because he lives, we live also. But the disciples laid down their lives for the fact that he was risen. The disciples died for the fact that what this was fact. I tell people when they want to question the resurrection, how many witnesses do you need in a court case to prove somebody's innocence or guilt? One or two. Jesus had over 500 that saw him after the resurrection. Is that enough? Is that enough? And so this is not some made-up story. This is not something that we look at and say, well, it would be nice. I better believe it because I go to church. No, it's fact. I don't have to work on believing it. It's there. How many of you have ever sat down and said, well, I just don't believe Abraham Lincoln existed. I just don't believe that stuff. I don't believe there was a real guy by the name of George Washington. I don't believe there was a real guy. Put a name in there. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the only president who served almost 3 terms. I don't believe he did that. We don't do that. But the devil does not want you to radically accept the resurrection. You know why? Because it'll radically change your life. In all my years of sports, all 1.5. I was a great athlete in my own mind. Whether it was hockey, football, baseball, I couldn't run, so it wasn't track. Nobody was ever ashamed of a winner. Huh? You know, if Rosso's football team this year would win the state tournament, wouldn't there be a little excitement? We wouldn't be saying, oh, I don't know them. I never knew them. I'm sorry. I never. But you know something? Jesus is the greatest winner that ever walked on the earth. And people get ashamed of him. People are bashful. People don't stand up. People say, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Where are you going to offend them to? Hell number two? It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to radically embrace the truth. It's time to be filled with the Holy Spirit, as Pastor Steve talked last week, and walk this out in boldness. I'm not being inconsiderate. I'm not being obnoxious. But I'm going to walk this life out in the resurrected power of Jesus. It doesn't matter if my family don't follow me. It doesn't matter if the church doesn't follow me. It doesn't matter if people follow me. I'm not doing it for them. We're doing it for Jesus. And there's a boldness. There's a boldness that God looked at us and said, I have made you more than conquerors. I have made you more than conquerors. You know, we were undefeated in my high school senior year. And there were kids on that team that never got off the bench. Never got off the bench. You know something? They got the trophies that we did. Because we're in this together. But you don't have to stay on the bench. It's time to get up. Jesus boldly proclaimed, I am he who is alive and was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. You may come across people that don't believe in eternal life. You may come across people that don't believe in Jesus Christ. Just tell them this, with love and kindness and compassion, there's a day coming, you will. You may not believe in paying taxes, but someday you will. Hello? You may say, this is my money. I'm not giving it to Uncle Sam. You don't have to. He'll just come take it. There's one thing about people. They may try to avoid God. They might try to run away from God. They might try to deny him. They may curse him. They may do all kinds of things. But there's one thing certain. The eternal will always be. Amen?
Amen?
Someday, every single person will know there's eternal. They will know that his name is Jesus Christ, and they will know that he loves them, but if they don't make the commitment, they're going to get a bad message. Do you know he's alive? Is he alive in your life? How many of you are going out for dinner? Margaret told me to preach till 4, so I only got 4 more hours. I want to close with this. There's one thing I've always looked at in Mark. Chapter 16, and some people don't even take hold of it. And maybe I'm just kind of overwhelmed with it. How many have ever felt rejection? How many ever did something wrong and rejection occurred? How many ever made a wrong decision? How many of you are breathing? Okay, just thought I'd check. I'm not sure. Some of you don't know what kind of life you're living. The angel that spoke to Mary had a special message. I don't believe it's something he thought of. I believe it was something that was imparted to him by Jesus. And the angel comes and tells her, go tell his disciples and Peter that he is risen. Kind of interesting. You know, if Judas wouldn't have hung himself, I believe he probably would have said, go tell his disciples and Judas. You say, oh, Pastor, Jesus didn't carry any grudges. Now, why Peter? Before the rooster crows, you're going to do what? How many times? One time is enough, isn't it? Three times. An interesting part of that, it was just a young lady that he had denied Jesus to. How many of you have ever thought, boy, it's a great job that Jesus forgave me. He really had to work hard to do it. Or because I did this, I'm not sure I can ever be forgiven. Or because of that action or this thing or that thing. You know, there are Christians that walk as second-class citizens. There aren't any. I believe if we would look at Peter's life at that moment after he went out and wept bitterly, after he recognized Jesus was on the cross and then in the grave, don't you think for a moment he might have said, what did I do? What did I do? You know, it's very interesting. Because when Peter said, I will die for you, I believe he meant it. Guess who took the sword and had bad aim? He missed and he cut off an ear. But Jesus healed it. And the angel says, go tell Peter. I still consider him a disciple. I still consider him a follower. I still consider him as a man of God. You may be thinking this morning, but I've done something. Have you ever stopped to think Jesus never stopped loving you? Have you ever stopped and thought that his grace is sufficient? It don't matter if you messed up yesterday. It don't matter if God spoke to your heart to witness to somebody and you said, I'm not going to do that, I'm afraid, or I just would rather ignore it. He didn't say, I want nothing to do with that person anymore. He doesn't do that. Go tell his disciples in Dwight. Go tell his disciples in Stan. We're all followers. We're all learners. We're all disciples of Jesus if we know him. And there are times, unfortunately, we all make mistakes. But God is there. And he raises us up. And he put his arm around us and said, hey, let it go. I love you. I love you. You have value with me. You're important in my kingdom. I have a place for you. It's amazing what love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he appears we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As you leave today, recognize he's alive and he has the keys of death and hell. There's no bondage that Satan can try to put on you that he doesn't have the key to loose you. And remember, he loves you so much that when you fail, he doesn't push you away, he draws you to him. He draws you. He works. Because he knows that sin will bother you even more than it bothers him. Because Satan will come immediately with guilt and try to push you away and push you away and push you away. John wrote in John chapter 2, my little children, I write to you that you don't sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he's the place of mercy for us. He's a place of grace. He's the propitiation, the mercy seat. I challenge you. Let's live this life now until eternity in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You may say, well, I feel weak, I feel sick, I feel this. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. He's going to give life to your mortal bodies. It's there. He gave life to the physical body, the dead physical body of Jesus Christ. And you at one time were dead in sins and trespasses, and he gives you life. Amen?
Amen.
I know the turkey or the ham or the ribs or something is in the oven. So I'm just going to keep you another half hour. Stand with me. Raise your hands. Just raise your hands and praise him as you leave today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we bless you. We honor you. We thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul says these words in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Walk in that power of the resurrection. Don't look back. Walk it out. In Jesus' name. Amen.